Hello, Ellis. Very good, very good. So I wanted to congratulate you. I'm sure the good people at Ruth List have had a wonderful primary. How'd it go?
We have. It's been very exciting. Still a little nail-biting. But we were thrilled that of the 12 candidates we endorsed, that 9 of those won their offices, and that's really exciting.
Oh, my God. 9 out of 12? That's fantastic. I was wondering if I could ask you just to tell our listeners a little bit about Ruth's List and yourself.
Great, thank you. Well, Ruth's List Florida is about 4 years old, and we were founded by Emily's List and Alex Sink and myself to help elect Democratic, progressive, pro-choice women to state and local office. Emily's List still does the federal races. So they do so well at the U.S. Senate race level and the congressional level. But we work on the state and local level. They are very supportive of the work we do, as are the elected officials and women leaders around the state, and we've been really thrilled to have their support. Ruth's List is focused primarily in those areas where we have the greatest opportunity. We worked really hard, as I know many, many of your listeners did as well, to pass the fair districting amendments,
mm-hmm.
because we knew that we could then have some more competitive races and bring some balance back to the state house.
In case there's some listeners out there that really didn't track the results, and, of course, I'm sure there was a whole lot of skepticism out there, even when the people vote in an amendment in place so that the government does something that they want once you hand it over to Tallahassee, where there's all those corporate Republicans in there. Not always do we get what we're hoping for. How did that go by your assessment?
Well, it's certainly not perfect, but it's a heck of a lot better than we had before. Working with some colleagues from the New Organizing Institute, they determined that there are actually 53 of the 120 seats in the state house are winnable by Democrats. And between 17 and 18 in the state Senate. Now, obviously, out of 40 in the Senate and 120 in the House, that doesn't get us to a majority. But it gets us to a really important number, and that is 40% plus one. And it takes 60% vote in both houses plus the approval of the governor to put an amendment on the ballot by the legislature. And as people have probably heard, there are about 11 amendments on the ballot for November. And I think actually all except maybe one of those was put on by the legislature. And frankly, knowing this that legislature, you can imagine that none of them have a lot of good things going for them.
Delicately put, my dear.
As a result, and this has actually been it's been an effective ploy by the Republicans, but as a result of those ballot initiatives, the progressive community is always on defense. For example, Amendment 6, which is proposed, which would further restrict women's access to reproductive choices, is that one has a budget to stop it, to not pass it, of between $5 and $8 million. There are also 3 other campaigns that are underway right now to try to stop other really bad idea amendments that are on the ballot. Now, if we could get to 40% plus one, in either the House or the state Senate, we can stop those going on the ballot. And then imagine what we could do with those millions of dollars.
Well, you know, I understand that one of Congressman Ryan's claims to fame is that he's tried to sponsor a federal personhood piece of legislation. And, of course, I'm sure that while there are those who think that's an absolutely laudable idea, I know I don't find myself in that camp. But that's an aside. Let me ask you this. When we think about this next the national election, as well as our election in November, do you think that with just the wins that we've had so far in the primary, do you think we're in a better position to take more of the Tallahassee legislature and put it in, if not progressive, at least Democratic hands?
I think so. We won't get to that 40% plus one this cycle, in part because the maps came out so late. But we could do it in 14 if we get our act together right now. But I think that we will see a bump in the number of Democrats, particularly on the House side. However, it is going to be a challenge. I mean, the Republicans have a huge amount of money. And fortunately, they spent a lot of it beating each other up in the primary.
One can keep hoping.
They've still got lots left. And we may not, none of us like the amount of money that goes into politics right now. But today, that's the way the game is played. And we all have a responsibility, frankly, to do what we can to help our, if we really believe in having a more progressive legislature, we need to be sure to invest in the campaigns of these progressives who are running. And it takes a lot of work, and it takes, frankly, the great thing about this being a presidential year is that Democrats are going to vote. They vote a lot more, 50% more in the presidential year than they do in an off-cycle year. However, because of the presidential year and because we have a U.S. Senate race that's so contested, we're going to see all of the voters' brain space, if you will, eaten up by those races. And so it becomes even more expensive, frankly, for our candidates to be able to win because they have to get their name out there. People will vote for people they know, and this, of course, is all going to be decided on the edges. It's going to be the independents that we're going to win over, and it's going to be young people that we're going to win over. It's going to be especially unmarried women, single women, regardless of how they're single. Those are the people who are going to make the decision in who wins in this upcoming election. But they want to know about the people they're voting for. And that means being in the mail. It means knocking on doors. At most of the races, it doesn't mean being up on the television, but it does mean being in the mail and getting into voters' hands, which is an expensive proposition.
Did you hear any percentage numbers of participants yesterday? Oh, my God.
Southwest Florida had 21 to 24%. Miami-Dade had almost exactly 20%, 19.99. but still, the high is less than 25% of the voters. So it's a reminder of how tough these races become because so few people can make a decision. For example, where I'm biting fingernails right now because we have a fabulous progressive incumbent, Barbara Watson, in the State House, who, because she's so progressive, was redistricted into a district with another incumbent who is a friend of corporate
Oh, boy.
Their race, when I went to bed last night, was separated by 42 votes.
Oh, my goodness.
This morning, it's 26 votes. So when we think about, when people say, my vote's not going to count.
Boy, that's so far from the truth.
Yeah, exactly. And I was at a meeting in Broward County on Saturday where the supervisor of elections there mentioned that in Ellen Bogdanoff's first race, which was a primary that determined who won a state house race, that she won that race by fewer than 100 votes. Now, think of the damage to progressive values and progressive issues that Ellen Bogdanoff has made, and what a difference it would have made if we'd had 50 more voters.
Jeez.
So those are the kinds of things that we really need to be sure of, is that even a state as big as Florida, every vote really does count.
Alice, can I ask you a kind of related question? You know, a part of the dilemma, of course, is getting people out to vote. The other part of the dilemma is, I understand there were still several seats where there was no opposition to Republicans.
Yeah, and that's actually a really tough decision to make. I live in Southwest Florida, where, frankly, it would be... I can't run for any race on my ballot and expect to win, because this is an overwhelmingly Republican area. So the question then becomes, do you fill a space knowing that you are going to, that Democrats not going to be able to win, or do you leave the primary open so that everybody gets to vote in the primary, which often ends up with a more moderate Republican winning the primary? We have had, I credit Chris Smith, the incoming leader, Democratic leader of the state Senate. His decision was, in those cases where it was clear that an incumbent state senator, Republican state senator, was not going to have any opponents, that he recruited and the Senate Victory recruited a Democrat to run against him or her. Now, that became very strategically important because as a result of those races, the new law says that if you have campaign money left over when your race is settled, that not only can you give it to a charity, as you could in the past, but now you can also give it to the party. So as a result of those, what, stalking horses, I guess is a way to put it, we ended up tying up more than $3 million that otherwise would have gone to the Republican Party.
Jeez.
Really important, and my hat's off to the men and women who have taken on those roles. And the other side of that, though, is that when we know a race is going to have a high contest in the primary, sometimes it's better not to have a Democrat there, because if there's only one party running in the race, then everybody gets to vote in the primary. The challenge is that you can close, what they call close a primary,
right,
only the party members by a write-in or a third-party candidate. It doesn't have to be a Democrat.
And it just seems to me that we should be contending as often as possible so that there's at least some room for that exchange of ideas. Again, speaking in the most laudable sense.
But
sure.
I think when we talk about how much money is necessary to win a race these days, that there every dollar, every hour of canvas time, every phone call that's spent on a candidate who frankly can't win is a dollar in phone time that isn't being spent on a Democrat who can win. And it's a trade-off.
I understand. Well, thank you so much for the great work that Ruth's List does. I know you may actually have a chance to take a breather for a second before you plunge back into the next campaign for November. But could you want to tick off some of the good progressives that Ruth List was able to help find their way onto the ballot?
Yeah, we have some great races coming up. Of course, the top race for many of us is going to be Maria Sachs, reelecting her. She'll be running in Palm Beach and Broward County to be reelected to the state Senate against Ellen Bogdanoff, who both of them were redistricted into the same district. We also have Karen Castor Dental, who's running in Orlando and Seminole counties for the state house. And many of us have already heard of the Castor name in the past, and she's the daughter of Betty Castor and sister of Kathy Castor and a longtime educator, Dr. Dental, as we say, and has a really good chance to knock off one of the strong Tea Party incumbents. So frankly, and this is a really interesting piece, is that it's very difficult, particularly on the House side, to determine who's the incumbent, because many people who are currently in the legislature are now running in districts that are...
that didn't exist.
That didn't exist before, and that maybe 10%, 15% of their old district is in that, in the new district, but most of the voters will never have seen them on a ballot before.
Yeah.
So, and we've got Liz Alpert, who's running in the Sarasota area, keep trying to push that blue south into southwest Florida, a lawyer who, again, has a chance to take out a red meat Republican. And then we have some other races around the state that are really going to be exciting to watch.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us. Any final words?
Thank you for having me on. It's always a treat to talk to you, and I appreciate the opportunity, and I hope people will visit our website, RuthsListFL.org, and join us, and also watch for a story on Tuesday about a very special event that we're, well, happening, I guess you would call it, in advance of the RNC convention coming in a few days.
Well, thanks again, Alice. We really appreciate you joining us.
Well, thank you so much, Rick. It's great to be with you.
Keep up the good work, dear. We're counting on you.
Okay, great. Thank you. You too.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.